So, Father, we just turn this over to you, Jesus. This is your gathering, Father. We only come here because of you. And so I invite you here into this space, Father. Come do it only you can do. Father, we just invite you. We invite your freedom, even as we read through your word, Father. And I pray that you would make us further into your image this morning. So we ask all this in your Son's holy name. Amen. Yeah, thank you. Cool. So I want to begin by saying thank you for your prayers for me, my wife, and also for my coworker, Ron. It's been a wild year, guys. I don't know if anyone's been paying attention. I'm not even talking politically. I'm just saying in my personal life, it's been wild, man. I've had a lot of craziness going on. But you know what? Through all that, God's been really good still. It's been really strange. Or maybe it's not strange. Maybe that's just, yeah, it's a good thing to clap for. Maybe it's not really strange. Maybe that's the way it's supposed to work, you know? I think our model was Jesus sleeping in the ship as it goes through the storm. So, but let me tell you, the storm is real. Okay, so if you're in Luke chapter 5, I'm going to start in verse 4. And this is Jesus. He's been preaching to a crowd, and he sees these empty boats. He gets on the boat, and he says, "Simon, take me out a little ways." And then he's preaching from the boat to the people on shore. In verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you said so, I will let down my nets." So when I was preparing for this morning, I felt like this is a verse that God brought me to. And I feel like this is really a great example of what's currently going on here at Grace Vineyard. If you're not aware, maybe we should just continue reading the Bible. Maybe that's a good thing to do here. In verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. You know, Simon saying, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." That is a verse that I like truly connect with at this time in my life. In my personal life, I've lost, I think, a total of 4 family members this year, and like close people that I see regularly. And my dad has been in the hospital. And so thankfully, my dad's doing really well right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But my own personal life has been really crazy. And I'm sure you've heard about Ron's strokes. That happened in April. And it feels an awful lot like, "Master, we've been fishing all night. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to go into deeper water. I'm good here. Like, can't we go back to shore?" That's a little bit of, if I was in this story, that's kind of what one of my reactions could be to my situation. And I think it would be a very normal, natural human reaction to what's going on in my life. But that's not the choice that I'm making, right? Because I'm on stage today sharing the word of God, and I'm trying to share what I think God's leading us into, and I'll get to that. But there's a difference there. Am I making any sort of sense right now, right? Like, you could easily say, "Let's go back to shore," but instead, Jesus is saying, "Let's go in the deeper water," and that's kind of the picture we have for Grace Vineyard today. Okay, cool. And so I firmly believe that God is about to do an amazing thing here in our city, in Oceanside, right? Yeah, like, and I truly believe that the church is supposed to be a part of that. And I believe Jesus is going to do it whether or not we're on board, but I want to be on board. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to partner with him. And it's because of that we're letting you know everybody gets to play. Does that make sense? So does that, okay, so you get all those pieces. I want to say, I think the women's ministry has known this for a while, that what changes people isn't showing up only on Sunday morning. I'm not saying church is bad, church is good. Showing up on Sunday mornings is a good thing, but that is not the solution to get your life changed. It's actually to live every day for Jesus. I'm seeing a lot of the, yes, yeah, because that works in your life, right? It's actually the everyday walking it out. And it is, in my experience, me being able to share my personal life with an individual that says, wow, you're super different. What is this? What's going on? And when you see, when your own life is in total, you know, total chaos and there's no inner peace because you don't know the Prince of Peace, and you see somebody who does know the Prince of Peace and they're going through a storm and they're sleeping on the boat, you're thinking, okay, I got to know what's different here. And so it seems seasonally appropriate to talk about it because this is what's going on in my life. And this is one of the ways that God expands his kingdom, is by demonstrating the peace that comes from believing in Jesus. I think I said everything I wanted to say there. The women's ministry is particularly good at this, I've noticed. I've never been a part of it. I always joke about that. But I've seen that happen, where you have women who come in any sort of level, you know, no kids, lots of craziness in their personal lives, in their public lives, and everything else. And step by step, they walk with people that know Jesus. And they might not even be further along in the trail. Do you know what I'm saying? It might be like, well, I'm on step 3. But I know enough that you got to go to Jesus. And they're like, oh, okay, like go to Jesus. And then what's the next step? And they're like, I'm following this person. And we're all following Jesus. But walking it out together is actually what makes the difference. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay, cool. Hallelujah. And that value for walking it out together is really the onus, the reason behind this series we're doing at Everybody Gets to Play. So we want to encourage you. You got to, like as Ron said, you got to cross that chicken line. You know, like, oh, I don't want it, it's so scary. But you got to cross that chicken line to reach the people in your life, because they are in need of Jesus and you know Jesus. And I would even venture to say that one of two things happens when you step out in faith, right? The first is they get healed, or they encounter Jesus in a really cool way, or you know, you get rejected, and that's like literally the worst. Nobody is going to throw a punch if you say, hey, can I pray for you? And they're like, no one's going to just punch you. And that would, like, if you did, that'd be like suffering for Jesus, right? So like that would be even a, I don't know, do you get gold stars? I don't know how that works. Gold stars, okay, something like that. No, but there is a reward for you there. But even if you're rejected, that's what happened with Jesus, right? He was the cornerstone that was rejected by the builders. So you're in good company, even if, hey, I feel like God is calling me to do this thing here. I feel like there's whatever it is. I don't know. It could be as simple as, you know, praying for somebody or saying, hi, how are you, to somebody that you normally wouldn't want to say hi, how are you to, but you feel like you're supposed to, you know. Oh, this person and I have history and it's not good and they look like they're having a bad day and I don't want them to bite my head off, you know, verbally, but I feel like God just told me I'm supposed to say hi. Right? And you go up and you say hi, and they're like, oh my gosh. And it's like all the history you had completely disappears, and you have a moment to share why you're not in the same place they are. Why you both have gone through the same storm, but you ended up on one side and they ended up on the other, and you can share who Jesus is, or whatever it is. So I just want to like give you hope and encourage you. Like, that's kind of the stuff there. So that's where we're going. Isn't that really cool? I really feel like that's what God's going to do in our city. I think it's more than just about our church. I think it's about our region. And I have some reasons for thinking that. I think part of it is, if you remember the sermon right before Ron had his strokes, it was regarding his vision for our region. So I don't think that's just kind of a coincidence. Sometimes there are coincidences. I don't think that was one of them. And so I really do feel like God is going to be moving in a really, just a wide scope capacity. And my interest is for us to make sure that we have nets that are well formed and that we have boats and all hands on deck for when that hits. I don't know when Jesus is going to say, hey, throw the nets over here. And then, oh my gosh, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know. You know, I have no details on any of that, but I know it's coming. And because of that,
we're up here trying to make sure that everybody has the tools to get that going. So I think I've hit all my points there. Hallelujah. Thank you. So with all that said, the only tool that I want to give you today is peace. And I would call it our weapon of choice. Come on. So if you're trying to follow along with me, it's going to be Philippians 4, verse 5. But before we read that, I've heard a lot of talk about inner peace. I studied business administration. I heard a lot of people talk about, meditation, the sort of peace. This is how you got to make sure you work out for this long and you got to do all this other stuff. There's a lot of really good ways to physically take care of yourself and be at peace. But I think there's a perspective difference between the way that I've seen God approach it in my own life and the way that I've seen other people that have approached it. And the goal for what I would say the world has approached, or the way the world has approached inner peace, has been you got a bunch of craziness around, and you got to create a little bubble for yourself, a little still pool of water that you can look into and be like, it's all okay. It's all okay. Do you know what I'm talking about? And you just do that for like 30 minutes, and then that helps. And for 30 minutes, I'm sure it does. And maybe it does long-term. I'm not even trying to say anything bad about that. But the difference for us as believers is not that we want to find that little bubble or make that little bubble for ourselves, but we're actually very much aware of the storm. Does that make sense? I would never encourage you to ignore reality. You have bills. You need to pay them. Praying and getting peace from God will not change that. Those need to get done. But Jesus is interested in your bills too. You know what I'm saying? So when you're in the chaos and you got all the the storm is going on, you invite the Prince of Peace into your boat. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Okay, thank you. That's the goal, and that's the difference there, is we're not trying to produce a little thing, a little oasis in our lives. We're actually saying, hey, we're going through it right now, but Jesus, you said you're going to walk with me in all things, and I want you to walk with me in all things. You're inviting the person of Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay, cool. So that's a slight distinction, and I just want to make sure that we're kind of clear on that. I would also say that it is people of peace that impact the community. And we know this, if you look at Luke chapter 10, Jesus tells his disciples to go out and stay with men of peace. Find a person of peace and stay with them and give your peace to them. And so I would want everyone here to be a person of peace. It's not just about church. You change your community. When you're somebody who can weather a storm, you become a safe harbor for the people around you. Do you know what I'm saying? I wasn't even going to talk about this, but if you look at Abraham in the Old Testament, he's asking God, how many righteous men need to be in a city before you won't destroy it, right? And he does this whole thing, and he gets God down to 10. It doesn't take a whole lot of righteous, peaceful people to save an entire community. And so I think if there's anything that is highly offensive to the enemy, it's peace, because it overcomes all of his attacks and it puts you ahead. Does that make sense? It doesn't feel very offensive because you're like, I'm just choosing to be at peace. I'm choosing to not be anxious. I'm choosing to, in that moment, it doesn't feel very courageous to choose peace. And, when you're like, I got all these bills, I need more money. And Jesus is telling you, you don't need more money. You need my peace. You're like, well, God, peace ain't going to pay the bill. Doing that whole thing. I don't know. Has anyone else done that? It's the struggle is real. Okay. Sorry. Let's read the Bible. Woo. And then we'll get out of here. It's just about that time. Verse number 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So let me just pause there, right? Don't be anxious. Step one, choose to not be anxious, but in every situation, don't ignore your situation. Bring it up in prayer, petition, and then thank God for what you have thus far. You know, you can't be prideful about what you got. You gotta be thankful for God. Be grateful. And present your request to God. Okay. And verse 7, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. What a promise. What a promise. Hey, you know, like when you read through the Proverbs and it says, guard your heart for it affects everything you do. And then it says, you know, be renewed by the transformation of your mind. God says right here, and the peace of God, which you don't understand, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. You don't need to understand your situation, right? That's not part of the deal here. You don't be anxious about it, and you bring it to God, and you said, God, 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 okay, your word says, if I ask you for a fish, you won't give me a snake. That's good. And if I ask for bread, you know, you won't give me a stone. Also good. And you really love me. So I'm going to continue asking. I'm going to continue knocking like that woman and the judge because I know you'll give me a good verdict, but part of it is just continue to asking. And in the meantime, I'm not going to start fretting. I'm going to say, okay, God, you got this. You know? And sometimes, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Because you've been in it. And so sometimes that means you put on worship music and you're like, okay, Jesus, I just need you to be here. And he shows up like this morning, you know? And then you got to go in the bathroom and, you know, clean up your tears and do all that stuff. But that's way better. And that's a challenging, difficult thing. And it's a victory that not everybody else gets to see. That's not like a you won the lottery. That's like a, you know, you won the fight of your life, but nobody else knows that you're going through it, you know? And so if you can win it there consistently in your private life, the public victories are way, way easier because you're not doubting yourself. So this seems like a small thing, but it's huge. It's the building blocks for community. It's the building blocks for us internally. And yeah, so finally, verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Wow. It's a big list, and it's all good stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I wasn't going to say this, but I would say, you know, if you're watching football and it's a good team, might be worth thinking about. You know, is it noble? Is it pure, lovely, admirable? I'm kind of joking there, but I think what Paul's saying is don't think about the icky stuff of life. Don't get focused on that. Yeah. Does anyone ride motorcycles here? Anybody? Or like maybe know some friends who ride motorcycles or maybe a fixie or something like that? Okay. So one of the things about riding a fixie, did I just say that? One of the things about riding these two-wheel monstrosities is if you're going really fast, easy. I like them. I'm just not cool enough to ride one. If you're riding that, you're supposed to be trained to go where you're looking, right? Because when you're going really, this is right? Because that's supposed to be how, not everyone does that, but that's supposed to be what you're supposed to do. Because when you're going at really high speeds, that's all you have time for. It's your body you just got to go where you're looking. And you just make sure you be very diligent that you stay focused on where you want to go. And when you see those crazy high crashes of people on motorcycles, it's because they took their eye off where they wanted to go, and they crash. Does that make sense? So what Paul's saying here is put your eyes, fix your gaze on where you want to end up. Excellent, praiseworthy, noble, righteous, whatever is lovely. Yeah, so I'm sure you guys can think of some things in your life. And finally, verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I wasn't there with Paul. We can't necessarily take from Paul, but I wanted to include this because what I've seen Ron do through his strokes has been incredibly encouraging for me. He was hopeful throughout the entire process there, but even more so, you know, in the ER when I went to go see him that morning, he was praising God and making jokes. It was really incredible. And I would encourage you that when you're going through your storms, to say, oh, you know what, God? You took care of Ron. I know that you love me at least as much as you love him. You know, I'm going to choose to trust you. I'm going to continue praying, Father, don't let me die here, but he'll carry you through. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's building a history in our community here that is one of, you know, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You know, right? Come on. But I want to encourage you, there's some stuff on our end that we can do. We can put into practice some of the things we've seen happen with Ron. So, and I think primarily that is being at peace in all things. So does that, yeah, we're pretty happy with that? Okay. Excellent. Very cool. So that's it. I'm a quick speaker. I don't have a lot of time up here. I'm not really interested. We'll get out of here early. But you know, I'm just joking. One of the things that I was thinking about when I was praying, and even more so was encouraged during worship today, there was two kinds of people that I wanted to pray for today. And we're going to do things a little differently. Usually we invite down the worship team, and then we have people like line up for prayer. We're actually going to do it a little differently. We're just going to invite people down, and then once you've elected to say you want prayer, I'm going to invite people who are in relationship with us or whatever to come up and pray for you. And if you'd like to say, hey, this is just me and Jesus time, that's totally fine. Please, nobody be offended. And if you do, give me a call. I'll talk you through it. Does that kind of make sense? So the first, and I'll explain it more if it doesn't. The first people that I want to pray for are people who have struggled with peace, or even as I've been speaking, or even this morning before I began to speak in worship, you knew, hey, there's some craziness in my life, and things have got to change. It might be like a metaphorical, I gotta change the way I approach this, or it might be like a literal, there's stuff in my life, and I need peace. Whatever this guy's talking about, if this stuff is real, if it works, I want it. And so I want to invite you to come up and stand over here. We'll have the worship team come up in a moment. So Amy, Jay, Ron, whoever wants to come up, you guys are welcome to right now. And there'll be some prayer. And then we'll invite people up to come and pray for you. And specifically, we're going to ask people to pray that the God of peace would show up in your life. That it wouldn't be a feeling of peace today, but the tangible manifestation of a long-term peace relationship with Jesus, if that makes any sense, right? And so if you feel like somebody in yourself, if you're somebody who is a peaceful person, I would encourage you to pray for people. And that's going to be over here on the left side. Does that kind of make sense? Sometimes I speak too quickly. If you're looking for peace, it's going to be over here. We'll have people pray for you. And finally, people over here, this is the third week in a series called Everyone Gets to Pray. Everyone Gets to Play. And I feel like one of the things that has been going on with us recently, this is also about change, but it's actually about shifting our mentality from church is a place where you just kind of go and do this stuff to there's an adventure that's waiting. Does that make sense? There's this, and I've struggled with how to best describe what it is that I'm trying to say over here, but it is... it's been really easy for us to kind of disconnect, or maybe this is the way it is for you. It's been easy for you to go into neutral and say, if I don't push too hard, I won't slip back. And I won't, you know, fall into sin, but I also don't need to go out and do this craziness. But you've kind of been feeling that spirit of adventure has been slowly seeping out of you. And you think, man, maybe I could, I don't know, something's got to change. And if that's for you, if you've heard this call and you've said, well, actually, The greatest adventure I could do is possibly partner with the living God. And you don't know what's going to happen. Ted, you didn't hear his story, but his story began with, I am never going to Africa, God. Literally did, right? That's how it began. And God worked him through this entire situation where he's now in Africa almost full time, leading, hundreds of orphans? It's wild. So I'm not saying that's going to happen to you. But I'm saying if you're at a position now where you're like, I know that if I'm not challenged, if I'm not invited into adventure, I'm going to do stuff that I don't want to do. And I want to be in the adventure that God has for me. Then I want to invite you up here and we'll have people come up and pray for you.